runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 240 with guest Steve Seifus, recorded Wednesday, October 26th, 2011. Run As Radio is produced each week by Plop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Hey, this is Richard Campbell here at Tech Days in Toronto. It's time for a little Run As. I'm hiding out in the speaker's lounge, and I found Steve Seifus from Object Shard. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Rich. How's it going?
Good, man. How's the show been for you so far?
Oh, so far pretty good. I've enjoyed all the content that's been going around.
And you've been giving a couple of sessions, too?
Yeah, I gave a session on developer security in Windows Azure.
Ah, interesting point. And, of course, Tech Days sort of straddles the line, like Tech Ed. It's sort of part dev, part IT pro, sort of crosses over there. So, Steve, when I hear folks talking about Azure security, it generally comes down to claims-based security is the main thing. What were you talking about in your session primarily?
Well, I talked about a few things, but the main thing that I talked about was claims-based identity, which a subset of that is claims-based authentication.
Right.
A lot of people associate that with the concept of federation, which is the idea that you let someone else do authentication for you. Because Windows Azure is a cloud, however you want to look at that from a marketing perspective, from a technical perspective, that application is sitting in a data center somewhere on the other side of the world, potentially. It's not joined to the domain.
It's not going to be joined to the domain.
It's not going to be joined to the domain.
It doesn't have a copy of your domain.
The IT guy is going to throw up his arms and say, nope, not going to happen.
Right.
So a lot of times you have to go from, okay, I have my identity in Active Directory sitting within my company somewhere in North America and the data centers in Europe.
Right.
How do you make that bridge between the two? Well, that's where claims-based identity comes in. Actually, more specifically, federation with claims-based identity comes in.
And I'm thinking ADFS?
ADFS. Active Directory Federation Services. In this case, version 2. Version 1 was the beginning of federation at the application level. Version 2 is totally different. They've rewritten it from the ground up using .NET instead of unmanaged code.
And so if I'm building an app up in the Azure space, I've got a group of developers building that application. I'm the IT guy, and we want them to authenticate against the domain. So I guess I got to prepare to stand up an ADFS server?
Well, yeah. Basically what happens is ADFS is sitting within your domain, within your company.
Right.
You have Azure sitting somewhere else. How do you connect the two? Well, the common denominator between the two is the user's browser.
Right.
So you have this server that's sitting within your company. It's ADFS. It's a web server.
Yep.
You have web application endpoints. You go to Azure. Azure says, hey, redirect to ADFS. ADFS does its thing and redirects back to Azure.
This seems very much like Passport.
That's exactly what it is.
Really?
It's based on the same technology. It's based on WS Federation, which is part of the SOAP standard, at WS,
way back when, the WS
Star. In this particular case, it's passive standard instead of the active standard. So it's all done through the browser versus being done through through a web service, which actually to an IT pro really doesn't matter because all you really care about is you're getting your identity from within your company and pushing it to the cloud somehow.
Right. I mean, what I don't want my devs to do is create usernames and passwords in SQL Azure.
Correct.
And have another thing I need to manage.
Well, the analogy that I like to use is application federation or identity federation is giving identity control back to whoever is in charge.
Right.
So realistically, it's not up to the developer to create the identity. It's not up to even IT to create the identity.
Right.
Say it's HR.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So, you know, you go back a few years, you had this idea of everything was centralized within within your HR system. You add an employee, that gets moved into Active Directory. Okay, well, that's part IT, part HR. With ADFS, you can actually pull from databases as well. So you're pulling from Active Directory to do authentication, but this identity information about your user,
right?
Such as your boss or the business unit you belong to or your hire date.
You know,
if you're a seasonal employee, you really only want access for, you know, 90 days or 6 months.
The window that you're working, right?
Well, you can pull that information out of a database instead of storing it in Active Directory.
Oh, interesting. I mean, that's very compelling, because one of the things we're complaining about now is we've got this proliferation of data in the AD because it's the only way to centralize storage. But you're saying it doesn't matter once I'm using ADFS?
Doesn't matter at all.
Hmm.
The benefit is ADFS is just there for authentication.
Right.
And going off to whatever actually owns the data.
The claims.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the way that ADFS works is it sits there, the IT pro goes to the developer and says, what information do you need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the developer says, okay, I need the name, I need their boss, I need the roles that they're allowed to do. They're an administrator, they're in HR, they're in payroll,
mm-hmm.
whatever. The administrator says, okay, well, I can pull that information. Well, I know their hire date because I can go off to a SQL database and say, I'm going to pull that information out.
Right.
I can grab the roles. Those could be, say, Active Directory groups.
Yep.
Any information where it happens to come from. And within ADFS, a set of rules are created. So grab this from there, you know, convert this type of information to this particular claim.
Right.
Whatever you happen to want. And then the developer's handed this collection of claims and the developer's happy.
Yeah, well, he didn't have to write it himself.
Exactly.
Right? I don't want to store all this stuff in my app if it already stored somewhere else.
And the greatest thing is that the developer actually doesn't know about where this information is coming from.
Doesn't matter.
So the IT pro looks at there and says, hey, developer has less work to do. I have less work to do because I'm not managing whatever the developer made.
Right.
I'm not managing that data. I'm not updating that data on behalf of the developer. So job's easier.
Right. And I like the idea that, you know, getting a promotion that's registered by HR could automatically deploy new roles to you.
Absolutely.
You immediately have a new set of claims there, changes the behavior of an application that's using claims-based security properly.
Yeah. There's also value in, if you're partnering with another company.
Mm-hmm.
So, in previous versions of applications, in order to get someone else from another company to be able to use your application, you did one of two things. You created a user within your Active Directory.
Yep.
Or, you created a relationship between your Active Directory and their Active Directory.
Some kind of federation.
One way, two way, however you happen to do it. Of course, the problem is nobody really wants to do that.
Right.
Everybody hates it.
Yeah.
So with Active Directory Federation, with on the WS Federation side of things, you just create an ADFS server in your domain, create an ADFS server in their domain,
mm-hmm.
and then their domain sends information from ADFS to yours to their application.
I see. So you're minimizing the contact that way. I mean, it almost beginning to sound like it's going to be pretty normal for us to all have an ADFS standing up somewhere, externally exposed.
Absolutely.
And is it all SSL-based? Like, what's the level of protection?
Well, there are two ways you can go about it. ADFS has two parts to it. You have mm-hmm. the server itself, which talks to Active Directory. You have this concept of a proxy server.
Mm-hmm.
It's ADFS proxy.
Right.
What that does is that if you happen to want it to sit on the public internet, say if you're connecting from home or from a non-VPN endpoint, you're out
right.
on the road somewhere, you don't necessarily want that connecting directly to Active Directory.
Right.
So what you have is you have a proxy that's sitting somewhere outside the domain, and you have open specific ports on the firewall. So say it's within a DMZ.
Mm-hmm.
That gets routed directly to the ADFS server itself over an SSL connection. It's using web services to connect from external to internal
right.
on very specific ports. So you're not doing direct calls from the proxy server to Active Directory.
Right. And then typically that proxy server is some kind of IIS box?
It is, yes. It sits on top of both servers sit on top of IIS. The benefit is the proxy server is not domain joined.
Right. So it's in the DMZ and it doesn't know very much, just knows how to call into the ADFS server. What about if I'm sticking internally, maybe I do want to use everybody coming through the VPN. Does it still make sense to stand up ADFS or can I just speak to AD directly?
It depends. The consultant's answer. It depends.
Yeah.
You start getting into developer realms when you say, okay, do you want to talk directly to Active Directory or do you want to talk through ADFS?
Right.
ADFS has this degree of abstraction.
That seems advantageous.
Yeah. The benefit to using ADFS is in the event that you need to change how the users are stored, whether they're stored in Active Directory or they're stored in a SQL database
mm-hmm.
or stored in a Novell system
right.
somewhere. You don't rip and replace the application.
Sure.
You just make a couple configuration changes and say, instead of talking to ADFS, talk to some other system.
Well, it's an interesting position to be in that ADFS is not just about exposing pieces of your AD externally, but just giving a better interface for doing claims-based authentication for any application, internal or external.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's, I think that's important, like just in terms of thinking that as an IT person want to drive my developers to utilize the existing infrastructure we have for authentication and permissions, that ADFS is a big piece of that. It makes things a lot simpler.
You're not tied down to any one system.
Right.
You can move about really quickly, really easily.
Mm-hmm. And then part of this is if we want to go to the cloud, we now, you know, punch our way through to ADFS through a proxy. And now when you hit that cloud app, it will connect for its authentication to us and then come back up with a token.
At that point, you don't even need the proxy because everything's happening within the browser client.
Right.
So if you have an application that's sitting in the cloud somewhere,
yeah,
and you have your AD, internally, you're sitting at your desk at the office. You're not out on the road. You're mm-hmm. not working from home. And you can directly hit that Active Directory Federation service box. You don't need to punch any holes through the firewall because everything's happening through the browser.
Right. So you're getting your token internally through that ADFS service and then handing that out to the cloud to be able to work on the app.
Correct.
Are external, you know, if you're on the road, then you do want to get through ADFS through the proxy and then handle that to the cloud.
There is that, yes.
Okay. That's,
if you are, but at the same time, you may want to go VPN route at that.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of times, if you're traveling on the road, you want to set up a VPN. So mm-hmm. you get the benefit of direct access.
Yeah.
Or you're using some other VPN client. You can still hit that internal ADFS server.
Right.
But if you are setting up federation with, say, another company, then yeah, you would need an external proxy
server.
Some kind
of external exposure.
This section of Run As Radio is sponsored by Secret Server, the password management software for IT admins. Secret Server helps you manage local admin passwords and service accounts the right way. Get your free 30-day trial for Secret Server at runasradio.com/secret-server.
Yeah, I'm just thinking through the sort of related company model and who's authenticating to what. I guess if I own the app, I also own the authentication. If they want to have access to it, then I'm getting them to connect to me.
Correct. So it's a multi-hop process. So
right.
if you think about it from the browser level, the user first connects to the application.
Right.
The application says, nope, I have no idea who you are.
Here are the tokens you need.
Go somewhere else.
Right.
I don't care. Go somewhere else. Go get that information somewhere.
Right.
So the application says, okay, go to the one place that I know I can get a token from, which is ADFS.
Right.
ADFS then says, okay, well, you can either get a token from us, so that's internal AD authentication, or there's a link that says, actually, go somewhere else.
Right.
This somewhere else is your partner company's ADFS server. So you connect to their ADFS either if they're partnered with someone,
mm-hmm.
they can go off somewhere else or they just do their authentication. And that token gets sent to your ADFS
right.
server. Your ADFS server can then say, oh, actually, you know what? I don't like the fact that it says administrator. I'm
right.
actually going to change that. I'm going to say, you know what? This is company A's administrator, not my company's administrator.
Right, right. I see.
So I'm then going to take that, bundle up, and sign it with something that the application trusts, hand it off the application, the application says, oh, so I know that ADFS server. I'm going to trust that ADFS server, therefore mm-hmm. I'm going to trust that identity.
Nice. And if I understand correctly, the app doesn't necessarily know, the cloud app, that chain of trust. It only knew the one that it was supposed to authenticate with, and that one implemented the next chain of trust, which implemented the next chain of trust. So
absolutely.
You make those modifications at the ADFS level, you don't make it at the app level.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty compelling. Like, that gives us a lot of flexibility when we want to extend the reach of an app that way.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, you can go to a custom authentication through that model. So
mm-hmm.
you don't always have to do, Active Directory authentication.
Right.
With ADFS, you cannot go directly to a SQL server and authenticate there, but
no.
you could create your own version of ADFS. It's called a security token service, an STS.
Right.
And that's up to the developer to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you could use the same basic principle where ADFS trusts this custom service.
Right.
Does the authentication against SQL or some system that's, 20 years old.
Yep.
You know, it's not tied to Active Directory anyway. You connect there. ADFS then takes that token, bundles it up however it chooses, and then hands it back to the application as well.
Yeah, so now we start looking at an existing company with maybe a fairly hefty HR infrastructure, and we want to start playing in this cloud space with some new technology. So I basically get a project to get the developers to put an STS wrapper over top of the old HR project. ADFS can speak to that, and all of this other stuff just becomes available.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
The interesting thing is what people don't consider is, imagine you have a large company and their IT is sort of segregated between all the different departments. So mm-hmm. HR manages their own servers. This is, you know, a lot of the larger companies that really haven't gotten to a centralized IT model, they're still doing this.
Yeah.
They have IT managed by HR or IT managed by payroll or purchasing. Well, what's going to stop you? They all have this one central application. So maybe they finally centralized payroll. So you can go in, you can access your information for getting paid, your direct mm-hmm. deposit. Well, if payroll is managing all of that identity information themselves, well, you know, then you start running into issues, because then they have to go to HR, and HR has to say, well, you know what, we changed users. This person was hired. That person was fired.
Right.
At this point, payroll can just sit there and say, okay, tell me your ADFS server.
Yep.
You know, it's more important to centralize some of this identity information, but, as a step along the way, you can then say, well, let's put ADFS in there and get one step closer.
Well, and you're just starting to think in terms of not having to call IT every time there's an HR change.
Oh, absolutely.
It just sort of rolls on.
Yeah.
And I like it. It's just, I think it's relatively rare in this day and age still to not have to involve an IT guy. How many times do you know the IT guy is the guy who knows first who's been fired?
I know quite a few companies that do that. I've been part of companies where
you were that guy.
The boss comes to me and says, okay, now don't tell anyone,
but
so-and-so is going to get fired in the next few minutes. So when I'm talking to them, I need you to go cancel all their accounts.
Shut their accounts down. Where that really should be an HR practice that just ties into the infrastructure. You don't see it very often, but this seems like one of those cases where it makes sense for IT to initiate projects with development. To start getting these into place.
Wait, you're saying that IT should actually talk to developers?
Now I'm talking crazy talk.
No, that's pretty crazy.
But, you know, the trade to that is also this idea that as developers have other application projects, this infrastructure that every app requires one form or another then is already established and has access to all of those sorts of things.
Absolutely. It's a centralized interface that the developer doesn't necessarily care about the back end.
Mm-hmm.
The IT pro doesn't necessarily care about the front end.
Right.
And they can meet in the middle somewhere, and the IT pro says, oh, okay, well, we're actually going to connect here. The developer says, oh, okay, great. I'm just going to connect to this interface as I was told to.
Right. And it even shows that there's some hope for those forms-based authentication apps that are still out there, that you could put a STS wrapper over top of that, and then it's part of the infrastructure.
Absolutely. We start getting into the developer world, but Microsoft came out with what's called the Windows Identity Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
WIF. Or as everyone else calls it, WIF.
WIF.
I have no idea why you don't have the W, but it's WIF.
Okay.
WCF, WF.
Right.
But the nice thing is, ADFS is built on top of Windows Identity Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft was smart. They said, you know what? We know everybody's using membership providers.
Right.
We know everybody's using forms-based authentication. Yep. So we're actually going to create this little module that sits on top of your application and says, okay, everything that gets funneled through this forms authentication through forms membership will create a claims object.
Okay.
So the developers are happier because it simplifies the conversion from forms to claims.
Without having to rewrite everything.
Exactly.
I mean, I run into this battle when we put the IT folks and the dev folks in the room together to talk through the implementation of an application, especially taking an existing one to a new version. And, you know, step one, rip out forms-based authentication. And what you're saying is there's a bridge here. You don't need to rip it out. You slide WIF in there against the membership provider. And now you can start playing with STS and actually package it up better. And then with that abstraction in place, you could replace the actual storage of that information to move it somewhere else.
Absolutely. One of the things I always found was you have the IT side and they say, okay, we need this information. You know, we need you to pull this information from this location. And the developer looks at the membership provider and says, well, I can't do that.
Right.
Because the membership provider is locked into a certain set of interfaces. And then you then take a step back, look at claims and say, oh, well, it's just a collection of bits. It's a collection of it's actually named value pairs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some name. So, you know, role or date of birth or, you know, is over 18, is under 65.
Right.
Is true, false, you know, 1965.
Right. Whatever it may be.
Some value.
Mm-hmm.
The IT side is happy because they can then say, okay, you need this information. Yeah. You know, even the business unit. They say, we need this information. The developer can look at that. It's okay. We just add it to the claim collection.
Right. Simple enough. And just all behaves the same way. So bit by bit, these things roll together fairly nicely. We really haven't talked on the Azure side of this whole thing so far. What is it I have to do in Azure to sort of stimulate this call to ADFS?
Well, the simple answer is nothing.
Right.
That's not true. There is no real difference from an Azure versus every other kind of application.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all going to work the same basic way. You stick WIF in there. It's a configuration change and a couple additions, in code. But basically what ends up happening is, regardless of whether you're in Azure or you're hosting it locally, you tell your application, okay, use ADFS, which is mostly just a configuration change. You have it's all within the web config.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, use this STS, use this security token service, which is ADFS. And you add the reference within the project. You drop the DLL into the folder. Then you deploy it.
Right.
And that's it. So you have the option of, to handling the authentication, you either say, you know, by default, require everyone to authenticate,
mm-hmm.
which is the default. When you add the reference within your application, by default, it just says, require everyone to authenticate. Or you say, okay, we only want some people to authenticate, so you have an anonymous connection at first.
Yep.
Well, you click a link. That link is just a regular redirect. So you click a link. It says it's a URL that's the ADFS URL with a couple parameters in the URL saying, okay, this is who's calling. This is where we want you to send the information to. Mm-hmm. When you click it, you get redirected to ADFS. ADFS reads that collection of information within the URL and says, oh, okay, this is the HR application in Azure or locally. I'm going to go get a set of rules that were associated with that application, go off to whichever systems, whether it's a SQL database or it's within AD itself, bundle all that information, and then send it back to the application.
Right.
And that could be Azure. It could be local. It
doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter.
You know, and you mentioned the web config file, which I find in most applications is initially set up by development, but ultimately needs to be owned by IT.
Absolutely.
And I think people who are new to ASP.NET, it takes them a while to realize that that's sort of the truth, that the web config file is the interface point between the application and the infrastructure, and the IT needs to know what's in it and be responsible for it ultimately.
Absolutely. Consider the development versus production environment.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft has gone a long way to create different versions of web config files.
Right.
And the ability to deploy with different versions of web config files and develop with different web config files. And then you hand this application off to the IT guy and he says, okay, well, we're actually going to use the production ADFS server instead of the development ADFS server. Well, the developer could say, oh, well, I coded that in and I have to recompile everything. And the IT pro pulls out his hair.
Yeah.
Or the developer hands it to the IT pro and says, oh, just change that configuration file. It's just a URL.
Well, and I also find that with database, the web config ends up being vital to disaster recovery too.
Absolutely.
If we need to fail to another site, I need different config strings here and it's all in the web config file. It's where it should be.
Well, at some point, you may not necessarily even have to do that because ADFS allows for proper redundancy. So you can create a cluster of them. So you have multiple ADFS servers that look like one single entry point.
Right. And the app already knows, you know, if the first one doesn't work, move to the second one. We've already gotten all those instructions.
That's a low-level Windows thing. Windows is handling that. It's IIS that's handling that. ADFS is just sitting there. Okay, is something coming into me? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to process it and hand it back out.
Good enough.
Yeah.
And it gets interesting as we start migrating more of these things onto the cloud as well, that those config files can actually help shape, you know, what piece runs in the cloud, what piece runs locally, and so on.
Yeah. And because you're not tied directly to Active Directory itself, you have this middle point. You can move things around really easily.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually, without changing anything, take an application, drop it into an Azure project, move it to the cloud, and it would work just fine because the browser still sees both endpoints from within the company.
Right. Well, and it's interesting to think that a completely cloud-based application, but it's still going to call home for its security claims.
Absolutely. And that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, you know, God forbid your application gets compromised in the cloud. Yeah. Well, do you want that joined to the domain and then have every user be able to, or have every malicious user be able to read everything in your Active Directory?
Sure.
No, you don't want that.
Yeah. And there's really no way to do that with the ADFS infrastructure. You know where ADFS is, but you're starting from scratch again, trying to punch your way through it.
That's one of the benefits of not having an external proxy. Mm-hmm. You still have to breach the boundary of the company.
Right. Although, I think I'd rather do the external proxy approach than, say, a VPN approach into the service, because that all that information is going to end up being in that cloud app if that cloud app's compromised.
Certainly. It's that it depends again.
Right.
It depends depends on what you're wanting to do. Depends on how your users are working.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a bunch of road warriors, yeah, it would make sense to do a proxy. For instance, Microsoft has their proxy server.
Yeah.
Obviously, Microsoft wasn't one of the first companies to deploy ADFS.
Sure.
They have quite a number of them. They are of the belief that you can't have too many ADFS servers. Their belief is actually one or two ADFS servers per application.
Wow. That's a lot of ADFS servers. Although, admittedly, it's not a real heavy thing. This is something you should be running as a Hyper-V instance anyway.
Well, absolutely. The requirements to run ADFS are really minor.
Right.
10,000 users can run on one or two instances. If you want full redundancy, two boxes, could be virtual machines.
Yep.
If you can support up to 60,000 users on up to three virtual machines that are just sort of sitting there idly.
It's just grabbing of tokens, right? The given transaction for a given user is quite small.
Absolutely.
They're in and they're out.
But if you consider when people browse to applications, so you get in first thing in the morning, it's 9 a.m., you sit down at your desk, you go grab a coffee, and you log into the application.
Right.
Well, maybe your session expired, so you're going to go to ADFS. Okay, well, that's, you know, a couple hundred users hitting ADFS at once.
Yep.
You're then in the application. The application's caching its session for you, and you're doing your thing. You close it. You go to lunch. You come back. You have to log in again through ADFS. You
right.
go back. Okay, you've authenticated against ADFS twice. Every other user is authenticated against ADFS within the same basic time frame.
Mm-hmm.
While ADFS isn't doing anything, it's sitting idle.
It's consuming no resources.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it sort of surges up, you know, at those sort of peak times that everybody gets back from lunch, and then it's coasting along again. But I mean, individual authentication is a milliseconds of stuff.
You could actually time it. It is within milliseconds because it's going off to Active Directory. You've done the username, password, and it does some cryptographic fun stuff and sends off the information to the application.
Steve, anywhere we should be looking for more info on ADFS if we haven't set up one before?
Well, if you look at TechNet, they have a whole section of information, setting up, preparing, deploying, troubleshooting. You can go to the forums. There's quite a bit of information on how to fix things if things are broken. The nice
right.
thing is, very few people are running into problems because it's just so simple to set up.
Well, and have those conversations with your developers about work they don't need to do anymore.
Exactly.
Steve, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.